Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
Hi, I'm Howie Silbiger, and this is the Howie Silbiger Show right here on the True Talk Radio Network. So pleased to be here with you tonight. So glad you could join me. And today is Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's the Israel Independence Day, celebration of the founding of the State of Israel 76 years ago, the refounding, the reclamation of the Jewish state, of the Jewish homeland, in the indigenous land of the Jewish people. It is a bittersweet day, let's put it that way. While we celebrate the reemergence of a Jewish state and the existence of a Jewish entity, which is available to allow Jews to move there at any given time, which allows Jews to feel safe around the world, Israel is the world Jewish protector. It is also a time where Israel is currently at war with a genocidal terrorist group who not only wants to commit terror and genocide against the Jewish people around the world, not only in Israel, but around the world, it's a stated goal, but also wants to rape and destroy people. So if they can't kill you, they want to kill you mentally. Now, it is interesting to me, and I've said this before, and I actually think it's fascinating, that so many people around the world have shown their undying support for a terrorist group which committed an unspeakable massacre of Jews on October 7th. Now, of course, history didn't start on October 7th, and there have been plenty of horrific massacres of Jews. But we talk about October 7th because there are still hostages being held. Still people being held hostage, women, men, women, children being held hostage by these crazy terrorists, these crazy genocidal, sex-crazed terrorists that want to rape and murder people. And the world is standing with the terrorists. It's the most fascinating thing in the world. On earlier today, the Biden administration said it does not believe that Israel is committing a genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters in Washington, "We do not believe what is happening in Gaza is a genocide. We have been firmly on record rejecting that proposition." The U.S. is using the internationally accepted term for genocide, which includes a focus on intent, Sullivan explained, adding that the Biden administration has also backed Israel on this matter at the International Court of Justice. The United States actually made a presentation there backed up by legal analysis, which I would invite you to read because it lays out all of those crimes, he states. Now, you all remember that joke of a trial brought to the International Court of Justice by South Africa. South Africa, who historically has been the bastion of human rights, accused Israel of violating human rights and committing war crimes. This whole thing has been a comedy. If it didn't involve 1,500 people being raped, brutally raped, murdered, burned alive, and mutilated, the whole thing would be a joke, but it's not a joke at all. Hostages are still being held. People are still, families are still begging for their loved ones to come home. And people are on the streets yelling at Israel, accusing Israel of committing ethnic cleansing and Israel itself of committing a genocide. You see, the woke movement, and I hate using that term, but I can't think of a better term to use. The woke movement believes in a hierarchy of victimhood. And that applies to everyone. So if you are a black lesbian, let's say, you are in the top tier of victimhood, and so on and so on. And that tiers of victimhood is what actually runs the world. It's in their mind, this is where hierarchy stands. So the more victimized you are, the more the world has to bend towards your particular cause. The more the world has to accept you. And that applies to everybody universally, except for Jews. So when Jews are victimized, like they were on October 7th, when Jews are massacred, murdered, raped, kidnapped, taken hostage, burnt alive, babies shoved in ovens, you have no idea. I saw the video, by the way, the video the Israeli government has shown journalists, 45 minutes of watching Jews die in the most brutal way. I had the opportunity to watch the video. And you can't get those horrors out of your eyes. They're there forever. They're really burned into your brain. How cruel and unusual the punishment that Hamas terrorists put on the people of these kibbutzim that they attacked. It's indescribable. And I wouldn't even try to describe the worst of it on the show because it'll keep you up at night. It's terrible. It's horrific. And I think it should be mandatory viewing for all these protesters. I think there should just be big screens up and they should show the 45-minute video to everybody who's protesting to see so that they could see exactly what they are standing with, exactly who they're supporting. When they yell, "We are Hamas," they are essentially saying, "We are people who want to go out and mutilate and rape young children, adults, men, women, and children, and then cut their heads off. We want to tie women and their babies together and burn them alive." This is what you're saying that you support when you say, "I am Hamas." And this is what's standing on the streets yelling at Jews, "I am Hamas." And this is what is accusing Jews of committing a genocide. There's no genocide happening in Gaza. There's a war happening in Gaza. And on this Yom HaAtzmaut, where we celebrate the founding of the State of Israel, the refounding, the reclamation of the State of Israel, we have to understand that there are people out there who still want to destroy the Jewish people. There are still evil out there. Evil exists. We have to understand that these evil people are going to continue to attack the Jewish people. Don't think for a second that all these people standing on the streets yelling, "We are Hamas, we support Palestine from the river to the sea," actually know what Palestine is, a fictional land made up in 1964. Don't think that these people actually know what Hamas did. These are paid actors. They're paid to be there. If you take a look at their signage, signage tells everything. Socialist Workers Party put out a lot of the signs, the pro-Palestinian signs. The Socialist Workers Party. It says a lot. So we discussed this last show, and the discussion continues, that these causes are picked up by the anarchists and the socialists to push their cause. So they will co-opt anybody's cause, and they don't care what it is. So this time it was Palestine because the war in Gaza. And they run with it. They're well-funded. And their whole goal and their whole raison d'être, the whole reason they exist, is to destroy Israel. Destroy America, destroy Western values. So if they're going to take the Palestinian cause and run with it and run it to the ground, which is what they're doing right now, they'll just jump onto the next cause. So I'm sure now that the university campuses in the United States are ripping down these enclaves, these encampments. I'm sure now the next step will be for the Socialist Workers Party, the ones who paid for all this, the ones who made all the signs, the ones who organized all the protests. I'm sure the next step will be to protest against freedom of speech in America, violation of their amendment rights. And then when that doesn't work and that gets shut down and the police stop them from protesting, because the protests will get violent, then more violence will ensue. We'll have riots, just like BLM. But they won't be on behalf of the Palestinians. That cause, they're killed, and they're going to walk away from that. Because that was just a catalyst. That was just an excuse for them to get into the streets, excuse for them to occupy a university campus, to get the media attention. It's just an excuse. They're just using it as a as a door to open a door, so that they could go and they could push their socialist agenda. This is exactly what they are doing, and this is exactly why these protests have blown up to the size that they are. Because in reality, we've seen this before. We know that there isn't this kind of groundswell support for the Palestinians. We know that this is a continuing war. This war is not a new war. This war has been going on for decades. And that this war has always been called a genocidal war, because anytime Israel does anything, it's genocidal. So we know that this is what it's going to be called. We know that this is what the people are going to do. We know that this is what the people are going to scream, and that Israel is going to be vilified, even though Israel was the victim in this war. Because victimhood doesn't exist when it comes to Jews. Jews can't be victims. Jews have to be the oppressors. Because if the Jew isn't the oppressor, then how could you shield your anti-Jewishness and your hatred of the Jewish people? How could you shield it with something else? You have to shield it with Zionism. And this isn't a new concept either. This goes back to the 70s. It goes back to the 60s. It goes back to the 40s. The UN passed a resolution in the early 70s saying Zionism equals racism. The anti-Zionist is the anti-Jew. And it hasn't been any more clear, hasn't been any clearer than in this latest spat of anti-Jewishness that's called anti-Zionism. If you take a look at the places that these people are protesting, and all you have to do is look at the places they're protesting. You don't have to look at what they're saying. They're protesting synagogues. They're protesting Jewish actors. They're protesting Jews, not Israelis. Duke University invited Jerry Seinfeld, comedian Jerry Seinfeld, to be their commencement speaker at their graduation. And a whole contingent of graduates got up and walked out when Jerry Seinfeld got up to speak. Now, is Jerry Seinfeld a Israel supporter? Yeah, he declared himself an Israel supporter. Does he have any power to free Palestine as they want, from the river to the sea? Jerry Seinfeld has no power to do that. He's a dumb comedian who made a lot of money with a dumb sitcom. But here we have it. He gets up to speak at Duke University, and a group of students get up and yell, "Save Palestine, free Palestine," whatever, carrying a huge flag, and walk out of his commencement speech. Why? What purpose did that serve? The only purpose it served was garnering some media attention. And this happened over and over again at commencement speeches. There was a woman who graduated, or a student who graduated from Columbia University, who ripped up her graduation, who ripped up her diploma. She picked it up from the dean, who handed it to her at the graduation ceremony, and ripped it up on stage. Whoa. Everybody cared about that. The university still got their $110,000 a year for your program. You're still hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and now you have nothing to show for it. Congratulations. Great move. It seems ridiculous. It seems overkill. And you know what happens when the cause goes overkill? The cause dies. So I guess I should be happy that the Palestinian cause, the fakistan, will disappear. That the media is going to get tired of them and then move on. And then it's going to disappear for years. You're not going to hear anything about Palestinians or so-called Palestinians. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's what the world needs right now. Quiet. Israel needs to finish this war against Hamas. Israel needs to win the war against Hamas. Israel needs to secure their borders, and Israel needs to secure their people. Israel needs to save, or at least collect, the bodies of the hostages that were taken. And the people who took the hostages and the people who were responsible for the murders of the 1,500 people must be brought to justice. And Israel must continue this until these people are brought to justice. Now, one way or the other, put up on trial or killed, I don't care which way, But these people have to pay for what they did. They have to be responsible, held responsible for what they did. And Israel is finally doing that. It doesn't have a long history of actually standing and fighting for its people. It has a long history of fighting for its country. It has a long history of trying to protect itself. But it doesn't have a long history of fighting for its people, of going in and trying to release hostages, of going in and trying to save people. We've had hostages held in different countries for decades and then traded away for terrorists who just go and commit more crimes. This has happened time and time and time again. The way to end this, and the way that this is going to end, and it could end tomorrow if Hamas just put down their weapons and surrendered. That's what Israel keeps saying. We don't want this war. We didn't start this war, but we will end the war. And I think that's a great thing. I think that is an amazing thing, that Israel's going to end the war. End the war and Hamas. The only issue is, and this is an issue that is going to it's a huge issue actually. The only issue is that Hamas will disappear, and then something else will come up in its place. So there's a book out there called Inside Hamas, and I just finished reading most of it. I'm almost done the whole book, and it tells the story of the founding of Hamas. And it's actually a fascinating story that Hamas was founded by the blind sheikh and so on and so on and so on. And one of the guys who founded Hamas is the guy who runs Hamas in Gaza Strip. He's currently there. So he's one of the founders. Now, killing him will send a message to Hamas that it's over. All the founders are dead. I really think that Israel has to go until they kill the founders, until they kill the people who are driving the organization. It's going to take them a long time, take the organization a really long time to rebuild. And I think it's time that they learned that governing the way they governed the Gaza Strip, launching indiscriminate missiles into Israeli civilian populations, which, by the way, the world didn't care about. Thousands and thousands of missiles flew into southern Israel for over 15 years, hitting Israeli populations, hitting Israeli civilian populations, and nobody cared. Not one UN condemnation. Not one condemnation from anyone. And people in southern Israel were living in bomb shelters. Children as young as kindergarten knew that they had to be 5 seconds away from a bomb shelter at any given time. It's not right. Jewish lives matter. Jewish lives aren't cheap, and Jewish lives that are taken will be people who take the lives will be held responsible. This is the way it has to be. We've sat back too long as Jews and accepted it. We've sat back too long and allowed our brethren to be killed, to be beaten, to be raped, to be blown up in buses. We've allowed it too long. And I'm so happy now to see that something I've been advocating for years and something I was condemned for doing when I was young is now acceptable and commended by the Jewish communities. When I was in university, it wasn't that long ago, it's about 25 years ago. When I was in university, the Jewish community used to shun me and condemn me for standing up against the Arabs lying on campus about Israel. They would condemn me day in and day out in the newspaper. There would be condemnations against me by the organized Jewish community for standing up for Israel, standing up for Judaism, standing up for the Jewish people, because it went against their official policy of appeasement. And university students suffered. When I was on university, we fought back. Then we were told, and university students were told, don't fight back. And they didn't. And they suffered. There are universities where Jewish students were blocked from walking through campus this past week and this past couple of weeks. I wasn't surprised by that because I went to a university in Montreal, Canada, which was nicknamed predominantly Gaza U. Jewish students at Concordia University in Montreal were scared, and still are, to wear yarmulkes in public. They're scared to wear any identifiable Jewish garment or symbol in school. Imagine going to a school where you can't wear your religious regalia, where if you wear it, you run the risk of being beaten up or attacked or screamed at. So Jewish students stopped wearing it? What year are we living in? But that's what's happening. And it continues to happen. And now it's spread around to all these universities, the anti-Jewish sentiment of young university students has really shown to the front. It has really come forward. So I've said it before, and I continue to say it, that in North America, Jewish life has probably come to a near end. That our welcome in this foreign land is really coming to an end. And the symbols are there and the signals are there, and we just have to be able to read them and understand them and then act on them. When Jewish students are banned from walking through campus, when signs on the street are being held up saying, kill the Jews, when people at protests are screaming, I am Hamas, not enough were killed on October 7th, and kill the Jews, annihilate Israel from the river to the sea, committed genocide against the Israeli people, against the Jewish people. When that starts happening in the street, and a government, the country's government, basically condones it, and the city of Montreal's government basically condones it, one has to wonder, how much longer do Jews have to live in these cities in North America? Is it time to just pick up and go? Do we have to wait until Israel has to send an airlift to come and get us? I think the time has come. I think we're at the point. We're at the breaking point. Now, are things going to calm down? Perhaps. But even if things calm down, the memory of your neighbors and your friends getting up and screaming, annihilate Israel, kill the Jews, the memory of that should drive us all to decide not to be here anymore, to leave. Think about it for a second. How do you come back from yelling, kill the Jews? When you go into a supermarket and you're standing in line and you know the guy in front of you and the guy behind you could have been in the streets holding up those signs? Does that make you feel comfortable living in a country like this? When you look at the government and realize that the government supported the terrorists over the victims? Does that make you feel comfortable living in a country like this? I mean, the decision's always yours. But if you don't see the writing on the wall, if you don't see that the time has come, then put new glasses on. Two schools in Montreal were shot with bullets. Time has come to put glasses on, to realize that in every generation they rise up to kill us. Every generation, they rise up to destroy us. But this generation, when they rise up to kill us and rise up to destroy us, last generation, they put us in ovens. But this generation, when they rise up to kill us and rise up to destroy us, we have an army to protect us. We have a country. We have a place to go. We have people to protect us. We have an army. So they could rise up and we could fight back. And our army is strong. But we also have to be proactive. We also have to look out for ourselves. We always have to look out and see if we are able to mitigate the problem ourselves. So I'm not saying be a coward and run away. No, God forbid. We can stand our ground and be tough. stand our ground and protect ourselves and protect our institutions and protect our children. But at one point or another, we have to ask the question, does it pay to continue protecting us in a foreign land? Or is it just time to go to our land, time to go home? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. That's the question we have to ask our neighbors. That's the question we have to look at. Because how many more billions of dollars are we going to spend building fortresses? For what? To protect our buildings? To protect us in the buildings? How many more years do we have to hide in our Jewish buildings? How many more students have to hide their Jewishness? Because other students don't like Jews. How much longer do we have to continue doing this? When do we finally realize, and we're supposed to be a smart people, when do we finally realize it's time to go home? I'm Howie Silberger. Thank you for joining me. I will see you again next time here on the True Talk Radio Network. Have a good one.